I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, beginning at verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Again today we stand at a unique place, the end of an old year and the beginning of a new. We look backward to the old and we look forward to the new. As we do, we must be confronted with God's desire for us. God's desire for us is in the two verses we read. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. With this before us, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we bow in thy holy presence, we who are thine own have often presented our body to you. And often probably we've taken it back again. And you know how easy it is to say words. You know how difficult it is for us to fulfill them. The spirit is often willing, but the flesh is weak. And we pray, O God of our praise, that we may take these words seriously and present our bodies to thee so that 1994 will be unique to us as a year wherein we have known thy blessing, a year wherein thy great name has been spread abroad throughout the world because of us. To this end, we just ask you to work in our midst today. And Lord, pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. For it is thee that we honor. It is thee whom we worship. It is thee whom we praise. Have thine own way in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm aware of the fact that some of you carry a NIV with you, the New International Version of the Scriptures. And I happen to enjoy the NIV's rendering of these two verses. And I'm going to read the NIV of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where the apostle says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The NIV tells us that presenting our bodies to Christ is our spiritual worship. And worship is that holy exercise that every child of God must do. It is a must. And there's only one way in which you can do it. For the scripture says, they who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth, John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 24. Now, our body, present your body a living sacrifice. Our body, therefore, becomes the vehicle whereby we worship, because our mind is renewed, for verse 2 speaks of the renewing of your mind, in order that we may approve that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our body becomes a vehicle whereby we worship, because our mind is renewed, And God's will is found by the believer to be good and acceptable and perfect. Now, man is a tripartite being. By that we mean what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, where he says, "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." So, man is spirit, he is soul, and he is body. Now, while we are those three, it is the body that we're most well acquainted with. When I think of somebody, I think of their body. Because we appear in a certain way. Our body functions in that it is the vehicle of communication with others. I don't like to talk to spirits. It's like the person who said to the preacher one Sunday, said, "I was there Sunday, I was there in spirit." Well, he said, "I don't like to preach to spirits. I like to preach to bodies." So it is. It is the body that we communicate with, and we think about, and we talk about. I saw a young man the other day in a store, and his picture had been in the paper. And he plays basketball, and I enjoyed just looking at his picture because I knew him. How did I know him? I know him through his body. He's taller than me, so I just call him Shorty, you see. But we go through, we communicate with a body, you see. And God says, "I want your body. Present your body a living sacrifice." And that's what our Lord asks for. Now, it's an amazing thing when God confronted me with these verses this week. I became interested in what the book of Romans has to say about the body. It's an amazing thing. He says, because of the mercies of God, I ask you to present your body. Well, what has he said about my body? And I went through the book of Romans, and I went through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and a few other books in the New Testament, and I examined the subject of the body. And I'm going to give you something to think about from the book of Romans in relation to your body. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, he speaks of the heathen. And he tells us there in the ending of that verse that the heathen dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's what he's talking about, the heathen of the world. And when you read Paul's first chapter to the Romans, you realize that Paul knows quite a bit about the times in which we live when he talks about dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. But when you come to Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, he's speaking to believers. And he says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye may obey it in the lust thereof." In Romans 5, we learn that sin reigns to death. And he says that to us as Christians, don't let sin reign, for sin reigns as a king. And if you don't think sin reigns as a king, I can give you an illustration to prove it. Sin reigns as a king. Then in Romans 7 and verse 24, where he's speaking of the Adamic nature of the child of God, he likens it to a body. As he likens it to a body, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And the picture there is he sees that old Adamic nature that every believer possesses, as he describes it in Romans 7:18. "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And he likens it to a method of execution that the Romans had, where they'd strap a dead man to the back of a living man until the dead body deteriorated the living body and the man died. And he looked at himself and he saw that old demic nature, that sin nature that everybody has, as being like a dead body strapped onto him. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then when you get to Romans 8, verse 13, he says this, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, it is through the body that we communicate. It is through the body that we sin. And he said, if we put to death the deeds of the body, we're going to live. What a precious promise that is. But I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I was astounded at what God has to say about the body. There are many verses here, and we're going to begin at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. And I want the second half of the verse, beginning with the word now. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. Notice verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Again, he's speaking of the body. But notice verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Notice verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, where the apostle speaks of believers, and he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, and verse 6. Here are some great verses relative to the coming of the Lord. Verse 6, it says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. It has reference to the death of a child of God. When we leave this mortal flesh, we are absent from the body, the spirit and the soul. But at that time, we are present as a people of God with the Lord. Notice chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. The last half of the verse says, for I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul is, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, was many times buffeted and stoned and other things. And therefore he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And when you go over to Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, 20 and 21, verses 20 and 21, we read for our conversation, and that word conversation in the Greek means manner of life, for our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Oh, the word of God has much to say about your body. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body. May I ask you an honest question? Have you ever done that? My hands, my eyes, my ears, my tongue, my feet, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As the NIV says, your spiritual worship. Now there's a reason for presenting our bodies. And the reason is given in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. There's no other book in the Bible that presents the mercies of God and the plan and the program of God in redemption in the manifestation of his mercy as does the epistle to the Romans. Mercy, what is it? Mercy is God's love confronting human misery. Mercy is closely related to pity. Like as a father pitieth his children, we read in the 103rd Psalm, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Mercy is that which withholds the wrath of God from those who deserve it. If a judge has mercy to the prisoner before him, he withholds the totality of the sentence. And God had mercy on us, and he withheld from us his wrath, but he poured out his wrath upon his lovely Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the mercy of God. And because God has done that for you, present your body a living sacrifice. And mercy is closely related to grace. And you see, what is grace? Grace is God's love confronting human guilt. Grace provides for us what we don't deserve. Mercy kept me from getting what I do deserve. I deserve the wrath of God. But the grace of God gives me what I don't deserve. I don't deserve heaven and being a son of God and all the blessings that are mine and going to be mine there. That's what God's grace has provided. By grace are ye saved through faith, giving us what we don't deserve. Now, when you think of the mercies of God in the book of Romans, in Romans verses or chapters 1 through 3, we find God's mercy toward man in sin. Man is brought up guilty and condemned, and we read that God's grace has provided a glorious Savior. God's grace toward man in sin. God's mercy. In chapter 3, beginning at verse 20 and on through chapter 4, what do we have? We have God justifying, declaring the believing sinner to be righteous, even while he's still unrighteous. You talk about the mercy of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. God's mercy withheld his wrath. God's grace provided redemption, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then when you come to Romans chapter 5, 6, and 7, here we have God's mercy revealed in his sanctifying process whereby he takes the believing sinner and he makes him like Christ, holy and acceptable in his sight. Then we come to chapters 8 and 9 of the book of Romans. In a special way, we find there God's mercy toward those whom he foreknew, whom he predestinated, whom he called, whom he justified, and whom he glorified. Oh, the mercy of the Lord! I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And then in Romans chapter 10 and chapter 11, we have God's mercy revealed toward Israel and toward all men. Romans 10 and 11, closing with that great benediction of the wisdom of God. Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That declares the mercy of God, and God says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your body a living sacrifice. Those of you who attended our Christmas banquet, do you remember that story of the three-legged pig? Remember that story? There's a moral to that story. And we're going to turn it around this morning. You know, the punchline of that story is, you don't eat such a good pig all at once. And you just eat him piecemeal. And my question is that how you give yourself to God, just a little bit at a time? You can have this, Lord, but don't you dare touch another place in my life. You give yourself to God, your body, just a little bit at a time. Lord, you can't have my thought life on a Sunday afternoon. It's all right between 11 and 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but don't interfere with me Sunday afternoon. Lord, you can do this, but don't you dare interfere with that in my life. God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body. I don't know of any way that you could have come here this morning apart from your body. If you drive, your body had to drive the vehicle. And when you came in and you're there, it's all of you that are there. When I look at you, I see all of you. And when God looks at you, he sees you and he says, I beseech you, present your body. You just give part of it? Or can you say, Lord, here it is. This is the beginning of a new year. I don't know of a better time than facing up to the fact that God wants our body. When he saved us, it was our soul that was saved. Our spirit was delivered from the bondage of the old sinful nature so that now we can worship God. But how are we going to worship? Present your body. This is your reasonable worship. It is only reasonable that you say to the Lord, Lord, this body of mine is for you. And I give it to you. The reason is the mercies of God. As we move to the second part, the reality of presenting our body. There's a realization connected with it. It is a reality of a living sacrifice. And I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll only read the second verse. He says, in that second verse of Ephesians 5, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling save us. This is a real reality. It reminds us in this verse of the whole burnt offering that was presented to God in the book of Leviticus under the Old Testament economy. When a Hebrew brought a lamb or a bullock or whatever he brought as a whole burnt offering, the thought in Leviticus 1 is all on the altar. None of it was given to the offerer, and none of it was given to the priest. It was wholly given to God. That is the thought here. And when we think of yielding our bodies to the Lord, presenting our bodies to be his, to him, to be his, the thought is that is brought to us here. It is to be given to him as a sacrifice to God, as a sweet smelling savor, all on the altar. It speaks here in Ephesians 5, as Christ also gave himself for us, we are to give ourselves to him in a walk of love. And that will manifest itself as a sweet smelling savor. A sacrifice belongs totally to God. We learn that from the Old Testament. Am I willing to commit myself to the Lord? What is the reality of this? When Mary broke the box of ointment upon the head of the Savior, the sweet savor of the ointment came back upon the head of Mary as she wiped the Savior's feet with her hair. And that brings us to application number one. We must never think of a living sacrifice as giving up something that is dear and desirable. We get the idea, oh, I'm going to give up sweets. I'm not going to eat sweets for this period of time. That's a real sacrifice. Giving our body to God is not something that we should ever think. That we're giving him that which is, giving up something that is dear and desirable. We must be very careful in this area that we don't listen to Satan. He whispers to you, God is cruel. And God's holding something out on you. It's much better if you go the way of the world. God's holding out on you. You know, that's exactly what he said to Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. And you know the results. Don't ever get that idea. What God is giving to us in his will that is good and acceptable and perfect is that which is far more dear and far more desirable to us. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was an offering of blood. Remember Abraham? God said in Genesis 22, Abraham, take not thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will show thee of. And Abraham, in obedience to God, he took Isaac, and he was going to slay his own son and give his own son on the altar. And Abraham, as he was about to slay Isaac, the New Testament tells us that he received Isaac from the dead in a figure. We read in Hebrews chapter 11. He learned that God, when he went up the mountain, he might have gone up the mountain with a heavy heart. Why does God want Isaac? But I'll tell you something. He didn't come down with a heavy heart. He saw the Lord in the mountain. And he named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. For God provided the lamb in the stead. And our Lord could say of that incident, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And a Christian who has seen the day of the Lord and who constantly has the blessing of the Lord in front of him and the will of God for his desire, that person is going to be a rejoicing believer. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Abraham could name the place, Jehovah Jireh. And God expects us to be able to do what we sing. It isn't they've taken it out, that stanza out of the hymn. You know that hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. They've taken the stanza out of it. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Ah, friend, God expects us to be able to raise our Ebenezers. Abraham could. And God wants you to have that privilege. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. It's your body. Application number two. We must keep in mind that the whole of the work and the means is God's great sacrifice for us. Our Lord at Calvary's cross not only offered himself as a great payment for our sins, thank God he did, but he offered himself to God, as our text in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 says. He offered himself to God as a sweet smelling savor, and he was acknowledged and accepted by God. For the epistle to the Hebrews said that thou hast anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Present your body a living sacrifice. It was like Mary when she anointed the head of the Savior. The fragrance of that ointment came upon the very head of Mary, for she wiped his feet with her hair. And if you want to know the blessing of the Lord, present your body a living sacrifice. Now, we don't sacrifice in order to get. We don't come into God's presence and say, now, Lord, you can have my body, and I'm expecting this and that from you. We come to God. Worship is not getting. Worship is giving. But it is God who blesses the sincere motives of presenting our body. And he in turn blesses us. He is the one who took the sincere motive of Mary and poured it back upon her, that the fragrance of her being in his presence was manifest no matter where Mary went. And you have a great illustration of this in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, Paul says to the church at Philippi, who supplied his needs while he was a prisoner in Rome, they sent a gift to Paul by the hand of Epaphroditus, who when he got there was nigh unto death. And Paul writes about it, and he says, I have received what you gave me. It is the odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable by Jesus Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. It is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Application number three. It's very short, easy to remember. May our lives in 1994 be a living sacrifice to God. Let's pray again. Our Father, we began by realizing how important our body is. You beseech us to present it to you. We can present it to the world in one way or another. We can do a lot of things with our body, but if we're yours, by that great work of atoning sacrifice at Calvary, We ask you to take our body. Help us to give it to you. It's so easy to speak words. It's another thing to mean business with you. Deliver us, our Father, from empty words and empty actions. May we truly present ourselves to you as a sacrifice, well-pleasing and acceptable. May we prove our spiritual worship in thy presence. And may it please thee, our God, to abundantly bless each one who has come along. Now we commend this company to thee, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest upon each one for Jesus' sake. Amen. Tonight I'm going to speak on proving the will of God. For our text says, this morning said, by presenting our body, we prove that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Tonight we're going to see how that works.